This Feathered Crown, a Dwarf Fortress, an Untitled Goose Game crossover fic. Written by Draconic Sock Puppet. Read by Black Glass. In the year 738, of the Age of the Hydra and Dragon, Nimue Loudsiege, of Log Hollow, toppled a statue in the Morning of Sax, a human temple to all the gods. "I'm tired of werebeasts and vampires," said Sana, knowing blameless. "Goddess of the moon, justice, and chaos. Let's try something else." And so Nimue Loudsiege of Log Hollow was no more. Instead, a stray goose returned to Log Hollow that day and joined the hamlet's livestock, for there was crack corn aplenty in their food troughs. Some months later, Sothet Trampled Grape, butcher and town drunkard, reported that he had tried and failed to slaughter a goose. But as Sothet was known to have difficulties with aim and honesty alike, no one thought much of it. A nameless goose set off into the wilderness that day to seek their fortune, and life went on. In the year 1273, of the Age of the Dragon, the elves of the Cerulean Hills fought and defeated the dwarves of the entrancing vestibule at Hushbust. As the victors devoured the corpses of the fallen, the surviving dwarves fled into the jungles of Pleading, there to eke out a miserable subsistence, whilst hiding from leopard men and the other dangers of the wilds. In the year 1313, of the Age of the Dragon, seven surviving dwarves of the entrancing vestibule gathered in the tavern at the human town of Lilac Marsh to set out for their new home in the far south, the endless ice fields. "Why are we going to live on a glacier again?" Odor Craftlabor asked, a fine blacksmith, but not terribly bright. "There are no elves there," Etor Stormthief replied. She was a mechanic by trade, a plotter by nature, and had gathered this expedition by sending discreet letters to all the various human villages and having them posted in the local taverns and temples. She had also carefully traced out the limit of how far the elves were willing to travel from their treehouses on a map, and spread it out for all to see. "So if we live anywhere with vegetation, they'll find us and kill us," said Nod Seedburst, a farmer and herbalist. "Wonderful. Didn't the war start because Hushbust cut down too many trees?" asked Medtub Hale Roots, a brewer and cook by trade. "I'm all for it. Let's go live in the cold." "But are there any necromancer towers?" said two voices in unison. Siblings Coman Whiskerbrew and Kethel Capperchannel. They had come from Armorbait, far on the other side of the Misty Mountains, which was rumored to have an undead problem. Eder shook her head. "No undead, no elves. Only ice."
"Sounds great," Nod said, with a pronounced lack of enthusiasm.
"Tell me the cavern stretched that far, at least." "There's no roads in the deep out that way," Etor said, and she took out another map. The three layers of caverns, which stretched out beneath the earth, and the path the doors of the entrancing vestibule had once made through them. "We'll have to go by the overland route." Underneath the table, a nameless goose listened as the dwarves discussed their future. They didn't notice their stowaway until they'd already reached their new home. "What is that goose doing out of the cage?" Etor asked, as she carefully inked the word Chilburrows at the top of a clean sheet of pigtail paper. "I thought we had all the livestock locked up." "I'll go handle it," Nod said. But Etor saw that the goose was out again a few hours later, when it reached up over the edge of the table and stole her accounting of their supplies, just as she was dipping her pen in ink.
"Medtub!" Etor shouted. "How does everyone feel about goosebleen for dinner?"
There was nowhere to hide on the glacier, and only a single stairwell pierced the ice, as Coman and Kethel dug ever deeper in search of the caverns. So it was strange that altogether, seven dwarves could not find a single stray goose. Meanwhile, inside the goose cage in the wagon, no one noticed there were now seven geese. And by the time Etor made another accounting of their supplies,
She'd forgotten that they'd only brought 6 from Lilac Marsh. And life went on. I've got the beds made. Erdem Riddleknife, carpenter, doctor, and general user of sharp objects, had joined their little expedition in Log Hollow, just before their final trek south into the ice fields. Now he poked his head around the edge of the rough corridor. Eater had commandeered the little space as her office, although it was still full of loose rock from the miner's hasty tunneling, as it was also well out of the cold. Eater yawned.
That's great.
Go ahead and get the others to help you set them up, so we can all get some sleep. They're all set up. Erdem shuffled his feet. Well, what's the problem?
There's a goose.
There was indeed a goose, and it hissed when she approached the bed at the end of the row. 5 more were filled. The others were leaving the goose for her and Erdem to deal with. Erdem wrung his hands. Go and get your axe, Eater ordered. I already tried that. Erdem pulled the handle free from under the 6th bed. The copper blade of the axe was bent in a U-shape, utterly useless. I don't think it's a normal goose. I can reforge the axe, Odor said from her bed at the end of the row. Later, once I wake up. Eater nodded slowly. Fine. Everyone get some sleep. She glared at the goose. The goose honked once. Go away, said Nod. He wasn't talking to the goose. Eater turned around and went back to her office. The goose had made it quite obvious where the authority rested here, and it wasn't with her. Everyone sat in the kitchen stockpile, after a long day hauling water from a hole in the cavern roof to toss into the bare stone of the future fungi farms. There were reptile men in the caverns, so Komen had bricked up the opening, Kethel had built a well, and Medtop and Nod had resorted to their backup plan. Make mud, then use it to grow mushrooms. The goose waddled into the stockroom, bold as brass. Eater sighed and dipped her tankard in the last barrel of dwarven ale. This was a battle not worth fighting.
Shouldn't we do something? Kethel asked.
Like what? Eater squinted at the goose. The goose hopped into a barrel of frog meat and started eating. As usual, the cats cowered in the far corner of the room. There's nothing to do, Eater went on. We can't kill it. We can technically cage it or tie it down, but it'll get out as soon as someone isn't looking. It won't stand still to be smashed, either. So we may as well accept that Chilboros has 8 citizens now, and one of them has feathers. It needs a name, Medtop decided. It's fierce, Nod said. How about Zykel? Zykel Proudhonk, Komen said. And so the goose was nameless no longer. That autumn and winter, they received 2 new groups of migrants from Armorbait and further away. There were skilled crafters among them, and several married couples with children. Eater rejoiced as she added their names to the census. The goose is Zykel Proudhonk, Nod told all the new residents of Chilboros, as he dished out cave wheat biscuits to their plates and fresh ale to their tankards. Be polite. There was some honking as the new dwarves learned the rules, and Erdem had several scrapes and bruises to bandage up, as some fools attempted to assert authority they didn't have, against a bird who didn't care. But all in all, the new residents settled down into Chilboros quite nicely. It helped that they'd brought a sack of corn with them. Zykel far preferred it to dwarven wheat. The first of Granite, 1314, dawned with a loud discussion in the new tavern. The miracle of honks.
There's no king, Nod said blearily.
He and Medtop had gone without booze for several weeks, as they had a bumper crop of plump helmets to harvest before they rotted in the fields,
and both were suffering for the lack.
We need a king.
Or a queen, Medtop said, sloshing her tankard around.
Don't be a jerk.
A monarch, anyway, Nod said. Someone to tell us what to make and what not to sell when the humans come.
But who? Dumit Frogswallow, one of the new migrants, asked. The expedition leader?
Absolutely not, Eater said, as she took a big gulp of mushroom wine.
I refuse.
Find someone else. Zykel sat on her lap, fluffed out. She looked at the goose and offered her tankard. Zykel started guzzling away. Erdem started laughing.
That's a proper dwarven goose.
Eater cocked her head. We need a monarch, and they'll be useless for any work once they're elected, right? Everyone nodded. That was indeed the tradition.
I nominate Zykel Proudhunk for monarch, Eater declared, and she thrust her tankard in the air.
It was a fine solution to the problem, everyone agreed. Once they'd found the magma deep in the earth, Odor forged their new leader a little collar of gold, and Eater managed to bribe Zykel with the last of the corn for long enough to clasp it on. In commemoration, Komen and Kethel dug out new chambers to serve as Zykel's throne room and feeding hall and nesting chamber and tomb. And all the doors with toeburrows filled the rooms with the finest furniture they could make. Kethel painstakingly engraved the walls and floors with pictures of geese and dwarves and corn aplenty. And Eater had hauled the goose's favorite bed down to the nesting chamber herself. For the first time in 41 years, the dwarves of the entrancing vestibule had a new home and a new leader, and life was good. Epilogue.
What the fuck?
Kedrum Eastfeather shied away from the Dwarven Trade Depot. She hadn't trekked all the way south of Log Hollow with two yaks and an archer, braving polar bears and yeti alike, just to be menaced by geese.
That's Zykel Proudhunk, our monarch, the dwarven negotiator said. Be polite.
The goose in question was sitting on top of her yak, preventing her from unloading her trade goods.
Kedrum sighed. I take it you're buying all of that, then?
Yep. The little dwarf clapped. If the boss says so, we have to. She'd heard stories about how weird dwarves could be, but this was an entirely different kind of ridiculousness. Kedrum shrugged and dug her inventory list out of her pocket, then eyed the masterful steel serrated disc that one dwarf had just dumped out of a wheelbarrow.
Well, I guess we can make a deal.
Maybe she could get a few free meals out of it when she told this story back in Log Hollow. End of story. Thanks for listening.